Welcome to show number 125 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is happening, everybody? Hopefully you guys are all doing well out there. Sit back and relax. We'll talk about sports cards probably for only about 20, 30 minutes here. I don't know. Who knows how long it goes. I've got about 10 different topics, 5, 10 different topics that between the sports card world and the sports world, we'll just talk about them. And some of it's on the court, some of it's off the court. So we'll talk about that kind of stuff. And we'll also talk about some brand new football sets. It's always exciting when the new year comes around January 1st every year for us. But, you know, us as like sports fans and sports card collector fans, we get like new year a couple times a year if you collect a couple different sports. So football new year is here. We've got brand new sets. We got one from Topps and we got one from Panini, which should be releasing about the time you listen to this podcast. So very interesting. We'll talk about both those sets. We also had the NFL rookie premiere. I was going to have my brother on. I always say we're going to have a guest on, and it's typically some guests we've already had. But if you've listened to this show long enough, you know that maybe my interview coordinating skills might not be up to par. So I'm just going to go solo. I've talked to my brother plenty about the rookie premiere. We'll have him on at some other time, and maybe we'll talk about it. But I'll talk a little bit about the rookie premiere and what my brother kind of let me know what went on and what we kind of saw from videos and tweets and all the stuff that was out there. There was plenty of people there providing coverage, including the card companies themselves. So very interesting. We'll talk about, I won't get into too much else we'll talk about. It's just stuff in the sports world because if I touch on it, I really don't have much else to say. So we'll start. Let's just start right. You know, it's the new year. It's football. Football is not even close, but there's been some injuries and stuff like that. I'll talk about that maybe a little bit later on in the show. But football is upon us. And when I say football is upon us, hey, nobody's really playing. They're only practicing. But hey, we got real sets, real 2013 sets with real brand new cards in there. Not this 2012 stuff that is the season's long gone. The Super Bowl champions long been forgot about unless you're a Ravens fan. But now we got all these new rookies, got guys maybe in new teams, and just it's always exciting to get your hands on new cards. So let's start with Topps Archives Football. This came out back on May 15th, has about 24 packs, 8 cards per pack. I did see blaster boxes at retail, and I think it would make a fun blaster box open, because I really don't think outside of just kind of the this is archived, so they have like all these old, basically like throwback cards. So you'll see Tom Brady on like a throwback 1976 Topps design. They have like 1985 Topps in here. They have 86 Topps. They have 59 Topps, and they have in the high number variations, which start at card number 201 to 240, are kind of like, I guess they're a little bit SP, but I've seen plenty of them for sale. There's all kinds of different ones. And obviously you have like the fan favorite autographs in here, and those have different kind of variations. Those are typically like cards that are almost like remade, like reprint cards, and they have the guy sign up. So those can be kind of cool. I didn't see a huge checklist, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But this set really, outside of, there's really only two rookie autographs. It's kind of weird how they threw these in here. I don't know. I think I would have just left these out or tried to get more in. We'll talk about Score Football in a minute, and they happen to get, I don't know, a lot of rookie autographs, many that weren't even at the rookie premiere in their set. And this set only has Monty Ball, who plays for the Broncos, and Matt Barkley, who obviously plays for the Eagles. And they're both rookie redemptions. So there's literally only two autographed rookies, and then there's like a mystery player, which might be like probably like Geno Smith or something like that. I don't know. I don't want to assume anything with Topps. You never know who the mystery player might be or when you might get it. So there's really three autographed rookies. Kind of weak. There's a lot of stuff in here from 2012. It almost felt like a 2012 set that was just happened to be 2013. So you can't really, be upset with that. But, you know, when you're collecting right at the beginning of the year, sometimes you want that those fresh rookies, even if they might not play or they might not be as great as last year's rookie. You just kind of want the new cards. But if you're still a fan of last year, there's plenty of that stuff in here, like Trent Richardson's and Andrew Luck's and stuff like that. There's even chances, much better chances. No, I wouldn't say good chances, but there's autographs of them, usually typically numbered to 25 or less in here. The real autographs that you're going to get quite often are the fan favorite autograph cards, and I didn't really see a whole lot of standouts on this list outside of probably Chris Carter, Anthony Carter, as it says on the card, for a wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. Outside of that, I really wasn't turned on by a whole lot what I saw there. There's some cut autograph cards of like some random celebrities and stuff like that, but in general, I'm not a huge fan of the Topps Archive set by the Hobby Box where you're trying to hit the autographs, because I really think you're only going to get like a $5 autograph, a $10 autograph most of the time, and maybe you hit some nice cards. I really think but at the retail for $10 blaster, you have a chance to maybe hit a nice insert, maybe hit a Robert Griffin card that might be worth a couple bucks. Maybe you do get lucky and you do hit an autograph there, but I wouldn't be counting on it. But you might hit one of the SP cards or something like that. Really, I think obviously you have better odds and better chances to pull more variety of cards at the hobby level. But it's probably not worth it. I think you can just go out on the open market, whatever a hobby box costs, about $80-$90 probably. You can just go out on the open market and spend $80-$90 and get some of the nicest cards on the set. So that's probably what I would advise you to do with Topps Archives. Nice cards, definitely would collect the cards. I don't know about probably the rookie redemptions too. I think you have a good chance of getting those back. And I didn't see too many other. I think there was a couple players in the fan favorite set that were redemptions, but not a whole lot. But there are not any really big name autographs outside of last year's rookies. And more often than not, we've already experienced a thrill of pulling those cards or trying to hunt those cards down. So nothing too new there, where it's like kind of the total opposite with 2013 Score Football. Typically Panini's first offering, one of Panini's first offering. This year it is their first offering with 2013 rookies. And it has some interesting points this year. There are two different versions. You have retail boxes and jumbo boxes. Last year and years prior, it typically was just kind of a retail configuration. If you were buying it at your hobby shop, it was typically in a kind of a retail configuration. And packs were 99 cents or a dollar. It was kind of a good value. Now retail packs are going to run you $2 a piece. It's kind of interesting jacking the price up when last year was so good and probably sold for about $2 a pack maybe on its own. Jumbo boxes are about $90 a box, so a retail pack there is going to cost you between probably $8 to $10 depending on how much markup a hobby shop wants to put on those. The exciting news here is initially you were advertised to get guaranteed two autographs per box, and then one additional autograph or memorabilia card. So one or the other. So you could get three autographs per box, but guaranteed two. Well, right before the release, Panini announced that there were three autographs per box. So now you're guaranteed three autograph box per box. Some might even have four, and you might get three with a memorabilia. So that's exciting. That's in the jumbo boxes. In the retail configuration, I think stayed the same. You're looking at one auto or memorabilia per 36-pack retail box. So you're looking at about one rookie per pack on the regular end. I believe there's five rookies on the jumbo pack. So there's some configuration here. The one thing I noticed is that for the last couple years, if you've followed Score, you've noticed that the serial numbers, I think, went away on their insert cards right around 2009, I think, or 2010, one of those years. They stopped putting serial numbers on the cards, but they still had like gold zone and red zone. You just didn't know what the quantities were. This year, I'm happy to say, if you're a fan of serial numbers, they are back, and I am a fan of serial numbers. So there are, in terms of the base set, you got Showcase, you have Scorecard, but you also, that's unserial numbered. I think those are pretty common to get. Showcase are numbered to 99, and all the parallels are actually pretty rare. Showcase number to 99, Gold Zone to 50, Artist Proof to 32, Red Zone to 30, so you got like a two card gap there, pretty interesting. Endzone is numbered to 6. And you have artist proof showcases that are 1/1. And you have 4 colors of printing plates, 1/1. So 220 card basically base set. But then there's also cards numbered in the base set that have kind of a theme. There's like airmail cards, which are like quarterbacks, Road to the Super Bowl, which I think will be a pretty popular set because it's all like Baltimore Ravens that just won the Super Bowl, so their fans are still really excited. Franchise cards and future franchise cards, which is one per team, one card per team, so they're like 30 card sets, I think. And they have like featuring one player per team. The exciting part of this is there are rookie cards, and they are numbered from 331 to 441, although 441 is Leon Sandcastle, which is Deion Sanders. I don't know the whole backstory behind that. I guess I didn't follow NFL Network, but Deion showed up at the NFL premiere dressed as Leon, some guy named Leon Sandcastle with an afro and a mustache, and they've made parallel cards and a rookie card of him in this set. So I found that to be interesting. But there's tons of rookies in here. There's the defensive players and some of the newer and obviously the wide receivers and the quarterbacks and stuff like that. So very interesting. If you're into some of the new players, if you follow college football, this might be a much more exciting set. There are quite a few more rookies in here signing as well than appeared at the rookie premiere. I'll talk about the rookie premiere in a little bit. But 40 players or so showed up at the rookie premiere. There's quite the number 331, 4, and that looks to be about maybe like closer to 80. My guess, rookies in here. I see rookies that were definitely not safeties and defensive ends. And I believe the number one pick might even here. I think what Panini did is they might have showed up at the draft, got these guys on stickers or something. That's maybe where they've acquired quite a few of these signatures. They just seem to be right there with a lot of interesting rookies. So there's hot rookies, and there's a mix of everything. There's some inscription autographs with some veteran autographs in there, like AJ Green and Rashard Mendenhall and guys like that. So you'll see those mixed in there with the rookie hits, but I can imagine the rookie hits are going to be where there's quite a bit of action. And there's some veteran jerseys and stuff. Interesting set. I think you could go either. I think, it's kind of nice. I don't think that Topps and Panini really, like, plan this out together. But actually, Archives and Score is a nice, like, kind of balance for us as collectors, right? It's like the first sets of the year for 2013. If you're a fan of this year's rookie class and you're just going all out with you're going all out with the new rookies and you just love the new guys and new cards you haven't seen before, Score is perfect for you. If you're not a fan of that, if your cards of you've seen before, if you're a fan of like throwback and heritage type sets and sets that revisit the past, Archives is a perfect set. And they also revisit a lot of last year's rookies, which are still going to be making a huge impact this year. You know, Andrew Luck's got to probably get better if he stays healthy. Same with RG3. If he can stay healthy, he's got to be as good as last year. I think those guys looked really good. Same with Russell Wilson. And then there's guys that will emerge. Like, we'll talk about AJ Jenkins in a little bit. And we'll talk about maybe even Justin Blackman and some other guys that were picked last year. And even Doug Martin and guys that will continue to progress year two, year three. Archives is a good set. So I thought it was a really good balance. So interesting set from the manufacturers right in the beginning of the year. Let's move on to the rookie premiere. A lot of the stuff that you see in Score this week, and certainly for almost basically the first half of products, almost all the products contain some kind of rookie premiere shoot. So it was like a big weekend. And the thing that I didn't realize maybe, or the thing that I maybe covered it a little closer this year, was there are players actually start showing up a couple days before the actual, quote, rookie premiere shoot, which usually is like on a Saturday, I think. So players are there a couple days before, and some don't ever didn't make the rookie premiere shoot, actually, like Manti Te'o and my guy for the tight end for the Bengals drafted, some guy from Notre Dame. They were both graduating. So some guys don't end up making it to the actual shoot, so they fulfill their commitments a little bit earlier in the week. And so that's what some guys do, and it allows the companies to get even more autographs, and that's where you might have might have seen some autographs come out. Maybe Score was able to come out redemption free. No redemptions in the set, maybe because of those types of things. So the NFL Rookie Premier invites tons of rookies. If you don't know about the NFL Rookie Premier, it just invites tons of rookies. They put on jerseys and take them off, sign a bunch of stuff. It's very interesting. They get the players running in, you know, like 10, 15 minutes between things. Players are signing stuff as quick as they can. They're doing photo shoots. There is some downtime and stuff like that. My brother put up some videos on our YouTube page, which you might want to check out. The key thing for the Rookie Premier that I want to highlight here that I don't know if been highlighted that much is there are a group of teams here where if you're a group box breaker and you're just looking for value, maybe you don't have a favorite team, maybe you're just looking for the team that has the best chance to get hits. In sets that are rookie heavy, kind of like Score, but certainly down the line like Prestige and the Topps Chrome Football and other sets that come out throughout the year, you might want to go with the teams that had the most rookies at the Rookie Premier. So let's go down. There were a couple teams. There were four teams with three rookies. The 49ers had three rookies invited. The Bills had three rookies. The Cowboys had three. That's key. And the Steelers had three. I don't know if you could call them the most popular teams, but the teams with maybe like the most rabid fan bases seem to be, to me, the Cowboys and the Steelers. Their fans may not be the loudest, but they certainly buy a lot of merchandise. And if you open up a card store, if you sell online, you certainly want to, even if you're not even in the market, you certainly want to carry and stock Cowboys and Steelers stuff because it should move. And typically, especially around the holiday time, you should be able to move wallets and keychains and lanyards all day of those teams because people love branded gear from the Cowboys and Steelers. So it's key. Cowboys, Steelers, Bills, 49ers. Just keep that in your head all year long if you're trying to buy a spot. And those teams, I don't think they're going to be cheap this year. But if you happen to get in and on a break, those might be the ones you might look for. There are several teams. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams with two rookies. And the rest have one. So the Bengals have two. Those are two offensive players. So that most of these are offensive players. The Bengals have a running back and a tight end. I just know that for some reason. The Cardinals have two. The Chargers have two. Manti Te'o, I know, is in that group. The Dolphins have two. The Eagles have two. The Packers have two. And the Rams have two. And the Rams might be one of the more attractive teams in here because they do have the Tavon Austin, probably the top. You know, some of the quarterbacks, like the Bills quarterback that they drafted, and even the Eagles and the Jets might be kind of exciting pickups with their quarterbacks, but you just never know with these quarterbacks. You know, obviously Russell Wilson, RG3, and Andrew Luck did well, but, you know, we've had Ryan Tannehill, and recently we've had, like, Jake Locker and Blaine Gabbert. Some of these guys are even looking to be replaced already. And even Mark Sanchez, going back just a couple years, they're already drafting a quarterback in New York trying to replace them. So you never know with the quarterbacks. But, you know, you never know with any position in the NFL. But I think you could go with some of these teams that I just mentioned in box breaks, and you'll have a better shot. You know, there'll be two rookies. Even if you don't hit some of the autographs, there'll be more insert cards of these guys. There'll be more even like base cards and stuff like that just because Panini will have parallels. Well, they'll do autographs and jerseys, and you'll have the better shot at getting some of those players. Just thought that was interesting. Let's shift away. We're so far away from football. Let's get back into the sports that are in season. We'll talk briefly. We'll still touch on football. Well, let's stay with football for just a bit, and then we'll transition out of football. Wanted to talk very quickly about Michael Crabtree getting hurt. Man, we're already seeing like guys going down and like stuff happening. Crabtree was projected to have a pretty nice season. Seemed to like have a really nice connection with Colin Kaepernick there. It really, really, Crabtree's career started taking off when Kaepernick took over. He really wasn't doing that great last year, even before when Alex Smith was kind of the QB. But when Kaepernick took over, this guy's career started taking off. So you never know if that really was Crabtree or if it was Kaepernick or if it was both of them just kind of getting along. We'll see what happens. Very interesting if you're a San Francisco 49er fan. Another thing that's cool for the 49er fans and cool for like season ticket holder is that they're getting the Super Bowl 50. Not that you get your guaranteed seats to the Super Bowl, but if you have season tickets, you are guaranteed in the lottery to get seats to the Super Bowl. So, hey, I got a chance to get to, I think I've had a chance to get Super Bowl tickets and when the Colts made the Super Bowl. I think I had tickets then to the Colts. So you never know. But what's cool about the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50 coming to San Francisco, is that they have that whole Super Bowl week. So I think I'll probably even go over there during that week and kind of see. I know lots of players. I think every player in the NFL gets like a ticket to the Super Bowl. So a lot of them, if they don't sell it or give it to like a family or something, they'll come to the Super Bowl and hang out. And so there's lots of media there. I think even Panini and maybe even Topps and some of these other companies show up at the Super Bowl probably to get signatures and stuff like that and to hold a promo and things like that. So it'll be interesting. It'll be fun to go to the Super Bowl. I don't think I'll be going to the game, but I'll go to like or the events around the Super Bowl. I think that'll be fun. I've never done that. Let's move away from that, and we'll go into the NBA. The NBA, oh, who cares about the NBA? And man, I don't know who cares. There's only a handful of people that are caring about the NBA right now. It's only because the matchups in the NBA are really – I think if Golden State would have stayed in, you would have had some casual fans rooting for them. But San Antonio, Memphis, not to hate on those teams. I actually respect some of those teams. I can't believe Memphis traded away arguably their best player, Rudy Gay. Obviously, I say arguably because now they're in the Western Conference Finals without him. So, and they really didn't trade Rudy Gay for a whole lot. It wasn't like they got like Toronto's best player or anything like that. So Memphis, you know, maybe that was a chemistry trade and really worked out for him. So Memphis, shocking the world. Obviously, they were benefited. Not that if Russell Westbrook was playing that he would have been able to battle past Memphis, get OKC past Memphis. But they're down 2-0 to San Antonio. It's just a plodding NBA team and is not a very popular team outside of San Antonio. You don't see a lot of Spurs fans just hanging out in random places. So they're out there, and probably someone out there is listening to this podcast that is one of those people, but trust me, you're in the minority. Miami is up 1-0 on Indiana by the time you listen to this podcast. Those series will be over and long gone, or there'll be a different count there, but if I were to make a prediction here, I think we're going to have a repeat of a finals that happened a few years ago. I think we're going to have Miami and San Antonio. I think it'll be a competitive series. We still got a lot of games to play. Teams, you know, Indiana's a talented team. They're only down 1-0 as I speak right now. And they have solid inside presence. And if they can play D and stop LeBron, which I don't think anybody can do, but if you can for a couple games, you have a chance to win. But I just don't see that. I don't see a compelling story here. I don't see a compelling any compelling young players or a compelling superstar really going over the top. It's either LeBron winning another title or it's Tim Duncan winning another title. That's what I see. I don't see that really giving a boost to the NBA. Whereas if the Warriors were involved, or maybe KD trying to win his first one, or another team, kind of New York, even if New York didn't like flounder their chance, if they could hire a good coach, they'd have a chance. They might have lit my fire a little bit, but enough talking about the NBA because it really isn't worth talking about. Although there's lots of good sets. I, for some reason, didn't put Panini Brilliance Basketball and a couple other sets that Momentum Basketball has come out. Actually, three sets, Past and Present Basketball, Brilliance Basketball, and Momentum Basketball all came out this month. And all I actually think Brilliance was kind of an interesting set. Had some new technology in there. Not new technology, but made the cards look fresh, I guess. Past and Present was probably my least favorite. Momentum had like a 300-card like autograph set. So there was like, it just seems like Panini has gotten every, almost, I shouldn't say every, but it seems like they've gotten every possible NBA player to sign except for LeBron and Michael Jordan. So you've almost anybody else, you know, from random guys like Kwame Brown I've even seen recently. So to, you know, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. So very, very interesting. Let's close the show off. Well, we're perfect. About 25 minutes. We're perfect. We're going to talk about just two random baseball things, nothing revolutionary here. Mariano Rivera, I saw that this is his last year, I guess. You never know with athletes, but I tend to trust Rivera probably more than other guys. He is going from city to city as he's traveling the country. You might know this if you're a Yankees fan, might not know this, might know this anyways, but I just thought this was interesting. it might endear him to more people than just Yankee fans. He's going around city to city on the road. I think at home he's talking to employees of the stadium, talking to just random people, talking to like charity groups and stuff. Every day, I think almost before every game for like 30 minutes. At least that's what I saw in kind of like a five minute clip or a 2 minute clip on MLB Network one day. So I thought that was really interesting. I actually noted, I don't know if it's any coincidence, but like a day or two later, I sold like a $10 Mariano Rivera card that I had listed on Check On My Cards for quite a while. It's a really nice card. It might actually have been underpriced. I think it was numbered out of 50 or something. So, but $10 for a card out of 50 non-autographed, not a bad price. So I thought that was interesting. You know, more players, I think they said on the MLB Network, more players should do this. They make so much money and there's so much downtime. They're in their hotel. Yeah, everybody, they're traveling quite a bit, but you make so much money. I know a lot of them go to hospitals and do trips like that. And a lot of them do a lot. I think Kevin Durant just donated like $1 million. And I probably should mention, I know we got people that listen to us in Oklahoma and I'm sure areas around there that were affected by these tornadoes that have been happening. So hopefully I'm sure you got better things to do than listen to a sports card podcast if things have been messed up for you. But hopefully by the time you listen to things are back you get yourself back on your feet there. And if you have family there, hopefully things are going good. And hopefully, you know, not too much destruction. You know, if you lose your baseball card collection, maybe you lose your house, maybe you lose your car, maybe you lose everything. Maybe you had a nice guitar, computer equipment, or whatever it is. If you lose all that, it doesn't matter. You could always buy that stuff back or have insurance that covers it. Or even if it takes a while, even if you never can replace it, you'd rare whatever. You know, you really should just be blessed. Hopefully you didn't know anybody that lost your life or had any friends and family that lost their lives and those kind of things, because that's the stuff that you can't replace ever. So hopefully everything's going well for you there. Last bit of baseball news, fantasy alarm. If you're playing fantasy baseball, if you're like me, I got like two leagues. I don't know who's on my team half the time. And with all these injuries, there's like day to day and a guy, you know, DL. I've had a couple guys go on the DL. If a guy gets sent down to the minors, I have this fantasy alarm. It's called like Fantasy Alarm. I think they have a Twitter account, but they have this app that I think is on both. It's on the iPhone, iOS platforms. But you type in all your players or you get all your players plugged in, and then they like ping you when they're not playing or they get hurt and stuff. And it's been one of the most useful things ever for me, and I'm going to use it for football. I think they have it for football, but I'm going to find something similar for football and probably basketball in the future. But with baseball, with the day games and the, you know, like it could be 9 a.m. out here on the West Coast and there could be a noon game going on the East Coast, and I got to get pinged if my guy's not playing. So very useful. I thought I'd throw that out there. Last bit of news, save it all the way to the end. Bit of exciting news for myself is I got engaged, not last weekend, about two weekends ago. I don't even remember. I think it was the 11th, I think it was. So very exciting for you, everybody that's been a part of the program and has gotten to know me a little bit, maybe on the forums and stuff like that. And we've done charity breaks with my girlfriend, busting the boxes. So my girlfriend, and now my fiance, Annie. So very exciting. And it was just the last couple months I've been like researching rings and like rare gemstones and stuff like that. And so that market's really interesting. You know, like people that collect gemstones are like, oh, I shouldn't be surprised by this, but I was a little bit. People that collect gemstones are like a lot like card collectors, you know, almost like identical, like profile, you know, they cherish the really rare ones and the ones that are in really good condition and really have great color and great refract light and are very, very rare that guys really cherish and tend to know a lot about them. And, you know, I've had communications with both the jeweler and the guy I bought the stone from, even after the fact, after I bought it, we're still talking and stuff. And it's really interesting. They're very passionate about their stones and their business. And I thought that was really interesting. I find the same people in sports cards. You'll talk to a guy for 20 minutes about like Topps triple threads or about the new Score football or Panini or Topps or Upper Deck or something. So very cool, very interesting. thought I'd throw that out there, but I am engaged. I'm off the market. I don't know what that means for this podcast or the website or anything like that. Probably doesn't mean anything but the same that we've been doing. Thanks again for everybody that has tuned in today, and we'll be back soon. We are out of here.